Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Our sermon tonight is based on our first lesson, Deuteronomy chapter 8. But let's begin with a prayer. Lord, you are our only God, the only one who gives us all that we have. Thank you for bringing us here tonight, gathered at your feet to give you thanks. Help us to give you thanks in all circumstances, not just on the eve of Thanksgiving, but every moment of every day. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, it wasn't until we were at war that Congress finally recognized Thanksgiving as a national holiday. You see, Thanksgiving got its start way back in 1621 in a small Plymouth colony, when English pilgrims feasted with the Wampanoag Indians who brought them gifts of food as a gesture of goodwill. And that custom spread throughout the colonies and kind of became a general way to celebrate the harvest. Then in 1777, over 100 years later, a national day of Thanksgiving was proclaimed after the American Revolution victory at the Battle of Saratoga. And 12 years after that, George Washington, celebrating the ratification of the Constitution, proclaimed a national day of Thanksgiving, but this time he requested that Congress make it an annual event. They declined, and it would be another 100 years and the end of a bloody civil war before President Abraham Lincoln would finally establish the last Thursday in November as Thanksgiving. The year was 1865. Today, Thanksgiving in the year 2017 is a mild-mannered holiday filled with football and food, pumpkin pie, and family reunions. It's really a holiday that celebrates the prosperity we have as Americans. But it's kind of interesting to think about it in terms of the first Thanksgiving, the first official Thanksgiving. Because the people in 1865 were not exactly what I'd say in a time of prosperity. It was a time of difficult loss and grief. The country was torn apart, and people had lost many sons in the war. And yet it was out of their loss, rather than their prosperity, that they decided to establish a day set aside only for giving thanks. Isn't it interesting that sometimes people's greatest expressions of thanks come from times when you think that the only reaction could be bitterness or anger or resentment? And yet it's in those moments that people find they have the greatest reserve of thankfulness in their hearts. Well, today, on Thanksgiving Eve, I'm really glad you're here. Because it makes us think about, why are we thankful to God? Why are you thankful to God tonight? It makes me kind of wonder, when I think about the first Thanksgiving, why is it that the good times aren't the times that we're the most thankful, or at least as thankful as the times of loss? It seems that prosperity brings with it its own set of temptations. Brings with it the temptation to forget about God. And like I said, that's why I'm glad you're here tonight, because despite the last-minute food preparations that you could be doing, those preparations on the food that you know your relatives are going to be judging tomorrow, despite the fact that you could be packing up for the big drive tomorrow and getting everything all ready, despite the fact that your life has been crazy and your family has just been pulled from four corners of the globe and just arrived at home, you guys all decided to pile in the car and come to the Lord's feet. You remembered the Lord on Thanksgiving. And my friends, you're already on the right track, because that is the key to being thankful. To being thankful even in prosperity. That's what Moses wanted his people to do. There they were, the thousands of Israel, camped at the shores of the Jordan. They had finally made it. 80 years from Egypt to Canaan. And talk about being able to remember the Lord. Not only did the wonderful acts of the Exodus ring in their ears, but they had been sustained by the Lord and by the Lord alone as they went through that desert for 80 years with manna and quail every day. They were keenly aware of God's presence as that pillar of cloud and fire, that visible pillar of God's presence led them. But it was here, just a stone's throw away from the promised land, that wonderful land flowing with milk and honey, that the great prophet Moses knew that their remembrance of God was about to be tested. Tested not by loss, but by prosperity. He wrote, "Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God." As crazy as it sounds, Moses knew that it's the times of prosperity rather than the times of loss that tempt us to be thankless. And you know what? I think he was right, because it's still pretty true today. For instance, how many times have you not expressed appreciation or gratitude to someone until you thought it might be the last time you'd ever see them again? Until it was their last day on the job. Until it was the day they were packing up the truck to move. Until they were lying on their deathbed. Or how many times have you received a similar surprising outpouring of thanks from someone that you would have never expected, that you never knew you had touched in that way, but all of a sudden they fear they might lose you and they find themselves telling you how they really feel. You know, this past August, my grandfather passed away. And it's a blessing now, he's in heaven, but last time I got to see him was on the 4th of July, about a month earlier. And we talked that day. We talked about the steaks my uncle grilled. We talked about his new condo. We talked about how his walker was, how he liked walking in it. And we talked about really about almost everything besides what I really would have liked to say to him that day. And it's only now after he's gone that I find the word of thanks that I would have liked to have said. How true it is that in the times of prosperity, we take things for granted. And it's only in the times of loss that we truly see how thankful we are. My friends, that's why on Thanksgiving Eve of all days, we need to hear Moses' words. Moses tells us to be thankful right now in our prosperity. And that may seem pretty easy. You'd say, well, Pastor, that's not too hard. I mean, be thankful for all the many things I have. That's what I'm doing here. But prosperity is a slightly difficult time to be thankful in a correct way. Because prosperity isn't God's greatest gift to us. It isn't his greatest expression of love. And when we make prosperity the gauge for how thankful we are, then we start to forget the truth of God's care for us. My friends, if your lack of prosperity and your excess becomes the gauge for how thankful you are, you're going to fall into one of two bad conclusions. Conclusion number one, look at all that God has given me. He must really love me. I am so thankful for all these things. If you follow that out to your logical conclusion, it means that we're thinking God loves us more because he's given us more stuff. We're saying that, really, I mean, God must love all of North America much more than he loves third world countries like Haiti or Sudan. That's a false conclusion. Conclusion number two that we can come to is, well, I have all this stuff. I feel pretty secure. I don't know if I really need to remember God that much anymore. I can take care of myself. There's that temptation in prosperity to forget the Lord completely. And that's what the devil would have us do. Just as he tried with Jesus, sometimes the devil offers us the whole world just as long as we don't thank God for it. He would have us be ungrateful in prosperity, then suffering and afflicted, and yet thankful and remembering the Lord. I think Moses' words are pretty applicable to us tonight. He warns us. He says, "You may say to yourself, 'My power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me.' But remember the Lord your God. Remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth. It is He who confirms His covenant, which He swore to your ancestors, as it is today." On Thanksgiving, Christians do not give thanks most when we look at what we have, or we look at the wealth our hands have produced. We give thanks the most when we look at God Himself, who has confirmed His covenant. Did you catch that in what Moses said? He said that the greatest blessing isn't that plot of ground over in the Promised Land. It's God Himself, the one who keeps His promises to you, who confirms his covenant. And you know what? God has made a covenant with you and I as well. It's different than the one He made with Moses. In fact, it's better. Jesus Himself said it. He said, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins." God's covenant with us is an everlasting covenant of forgiveness and love, proclaimed in the blood of His Son, Jesus. See, God loved us so much that He was willing to lose His Son in order to call us His own, in order to confirm His covenant. You know, maybe that's why Christians find the most thankfulness in times of loss. Because it's in those times of loss that we get such a clear picture of the gospel. That we see God's grace shining so clearly when everything else is stripped away. And there's no better picture of God's grace in loss than Jesus' cross, where we see God lose His Son and call us His children. My friends, that's what we're thankful for here on Thanksgiving. That's why we remember God who keeps His covenant. I'm not saying that you shouldn't be thankful for all the blessings you give. I mean, by all means, there are so many wonderful biblical ways to give thanks to God for all the blessings you have. Give thanks for the fun tomorrow, for the turkey and for the football, for that crazy uncle and his jokes. Give thanks for all the excess and prosperity we have in this country. Give thanks for how much you have, but remember that that gift pales in comparison to the greatest gifts God gives us. Those gifts of eternal life, those gifts of forgiveness, of meaning, of inner and deep abiding peace through Jesus. Remember also that any pain or any loss you endure is also a reason to give thanks. Because through it, God reveals His grace to you. And remember that whatever is taken away from you, when you see Jesus on the cross, you still see what is sufficient, what is really more than enough. And finally, remember that every soul that you sit around the table with tomorrow is going to live forever. There's someone who Jesus died for, whose life has been bought and paid for. Thank God for that tomorrow. Make sure they know that. Remember to tell them what you'd like to tell them before you lose the chance. My friends, whether you have a lot or a little, whether you find yourself with excess or wanting, whether you find yourself camped out in the desert or near the streams of the Jordan, remember the Lord your God tonight and be thankful even in your prosperity.